Welcome to the Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast, a soft place to land when you begin to question it all during a time of great awakenings. Whether you're seeking inspiration, guidance, or simply a space to bring your own brilliance and depth, I humbly offer my voice and lessons lived from the lens of a mixed Native Hawaiian woman, mother, and longtime partner. Not as one who has all the answers, but as one who has dared to ask the questions about the sacred path of reclamation over our stories and our bodies. I believe it starts with devotion to living, not only from our heads and our to-do lists, but living from our bodies as a source of deep wisdom and connection, which then expands our capacity to love and ultimately be in partnership with the God and Goddess within us all. So I invite you to take a breath, open your heart as we reclaim our mana and magic in our everyday lives. Welcome to the show. Let's begin. So today's episode, I felt a little overwhelmed by the topic that I really wanted to dive into. And then I just felt this, well, just talk then, you know, like, why do we have to make this a production? I mean, I feel like some episodes can just be very short and sweet and to the point, and some of them I gotta just unpack it in real time, like, and I gotta tell story, and stories take time, and I don't know, like, I guess, well, I do know. I know that we're in this information age where we have to consume and then we're on to the next thing and then we're on to the next thing. But like when it comes to work of embodiment, dude, we need lots of time to integrate and lots of time to live and lots of time to play and lots of time to contemplate. And for people that love to consume and then on to the next and on to the next, that is not embodied style of learning. When I first learned this word embodied, like it's such a buzz, right? And it is a key word and it is like its own thing now. But a couple of years ago, I really had not heard this word. I heard it in like a workshop, and at the time I was like really in the height of like building this online business, and I had been coaching a lot of people, and I would often go to these workshops to like help me better my craft in leadership. And I remember this woman's name, her name was Victoria. Victoria brought up the idea of embodiment. I was like, oh, cool. And the way that I took it at that time was really about integrity, which, yes, it absolutely is about that. It was like you don't have to convince or prove. You just are. Like you are a living, breathing embodiment of the beliefs in which you hold, of the truths in which you live. And yeah, that was pretty amazing for me. And I was like, if we just really lived in that alignment, we are embodied. And I really appreciated that. And as, as I started to grow in this word, and maybe you've been following the pod, but it's important for me to kind of repeat the stories because there are new people and whatever. I've had my spiritual awakening. I think it started back in like 2017. 2018 maybe, and it was like a series of unravelings, which I am starting to slowly share about on my new Substack, which I am definitely going to be talking about here on this podcast. There's just a lot that's coming through, and I'm so excited, and also sometimes I'm like, holy crap, like this is a lot, like, and who the frick even cares? But right now, me, I care. Like, I care about telling the truths that never got told, about not sidestepping these massive awakenings, because when something is personal, it is universal. There's a lot of themes that are coming up. And one of the biggest themes that are coming up is unmasking, is dropping the mask and dropping the bullshit and like really unfiltering first and foremost ourselves. And I really appreciate being in spaces, whether I fully agree and I'm on board with people 100%, that is not what I'm looking for. Like, and even if I've like left my faith and I've kind of made it like a central story to all of the stories that I want to share, when someone is truly an embodiment of their belief system, and there is no putting their belief system upon another body, I can honor that. I can do a deep kuno and a deep bow to these individuals, because that is living your belief. Where I get upset and I get bothered is when you believe something and then you're trying to put it on someone else. And that is not the intention of this podcast. This podcast and these writings that are coming through are honestly just a soft place to land. It is doing exactly what that cliche says, create what you wish existed. And as a Pacific Islander, as a Hawaiian woman, as mixed, as a mother who is entering midlife, I don't have a lot of spaces to unpack religious harm and the effects that purity culture had on my sexuality and the effects of white Christian nationalism on our people and ultimately the collective harm on our bodies. And these are really important conversations that we just don't bother with. And so I'm an embodiment facilitator. I don't know. I feel like I've played around with these words so much, like do sensual somatics. I've done like yoga. I've done, and honestly, like I've kind of settled into embodiment facilitator, because embodiment is about exploring the body. And within the last year and year and a half, like I was already starting to be like about like wellness spaces and about facilitation, although I like love and I miss facilitating at the rate I used to and like the amount that I used to, I needed a really big pause. And post fire, again, things got really clear for me, even more so. And I got really quiet. And when you can get really quiet, you listen, right? Like, again, this episode, I'm just going for it. Let me just take a quick breather. Is that you don't have to be taught how to be embodied. Like, let me say that again. You don't have to learn how to be embodied. We already are. Like, before we were even born into this world, we moved. Like, I think when we jump online, and maybe if you were to go and search up embodiment, oh my gosh, what you're gonna find is probably a lot of like women, not women of color, honestly, like sensually moving, sexually expressing, and that is well, and that's cool. And also, that is not the sum of this work. When we were in the womb, like we stretched and we yawned and we kicked and we did these movements, and it's like the most natural thing. We were telling stories already with our bodies. And then when we come out into the world and we begin to be socialized, stop moving. Oh, this baby cries too much. Oh, this child, she's so porigi, or like, oh, you're too much, or you're too loud, or, you know. And then we start to be kind of like calmed and definitely groomed, you know, and taught the ways in which to be, so that we can be accepted, so that we can live amongst the community, so we know our quote-unquote place. And that definitely varies, right, from where people live. So when I have embodiment, what I call circles, or I facilitate embodiment, the one part of it is movement. And I use the medium of movement, dance, because that was, you know, that has been my lifelong love, is dance and movement. But stillness is also a part of embodiment. And the thing about the last year and a half, as I was kind of sharing why I kind of pulled back and I had to kind of reassess, was I just couldn't continue this, like, socialized, or I don't even know, social medialized version of embodiment, because it wasn't integrity to the experiences of communities of color, especially my community, of the, you know, BIPOC experience of being removed from land, removed from our communities, removed from our cultural practices, and then expected to, like, liberate and, you know, drop what doesn't serve you. What is that thing I'll say? Release what doesn't serve me, as if it's on one fell swoop. Intuitively, I just instantly had said this, and whenever I'm like, it doesn't work like that. You know, I mean, we're talking thousands of years of systemic trauma, and I am not a woman of big words, if you haven't guessed this yet, but I do speak very openly from my heart. I am one who studies, right? Like, the teacher is always the most committed student. And what I've learned about embodiment is that I can't truly be in my personal integrity. And I do think there are great embodiment classes that don't touch upon these really weighted topics. But, and I don't expect, you know, when people come to my classes to, like, give a lecture, that's not what we do at all. It really is about the individual. But for me, holding the space and being able to hold all that people come in, I need to have that own awareness, practicing deep listening, what that is like. And it does, and it has a certain sound to it even. And I won't share about that too much. But there has been disproportionate harm that has taken place. And when I have facilitated in embodiment, typically people of color don't want to come. They don't want to come to circle. They don't want to come to class. They don't want to be a part of these quote-unquote hippie things. I talked about this way early on another episode, and I'm going to try to link it here. And not realizing that embodiment is not a socialized class. It is not like Zumba. It is not that. It is like the truest form of self-expression that can exist. And we learn to be disembodied at a very young age when we learn to stop listening to our body and analyze everything that is in our head. There is a woman, and her name is Mina Salami, and one of the quotes that she shares is about, like, Euro-patriarchal knowledge. And I think we learn about this when we call it, like, oh, things are not linear. Yeah, and they're, that kind of falls in line with this, like, head knowledge, because it did come from very, very long time ago. And whatnot. That was one part. The other part was to, you know, sit in church, to cover my body, to be quiet, to not laugh too loud or say bad words or whatever. So I kind of had these two houses, basically, that I feel like my body had to constantly shift between. And this is taking a lot of reflection. And so I say this, fuck it. Okay. So I think then within these two houses we live, then we have two different messages kind of happening, right? One is about like expression and freeing and connecting with the stories and allowing your body to be a part of the experience. And then there's other one that's like resourcing outside of yourself, and it's like giving all the attention to some other source. But what I've come to know is that like our bodies are not machines. And I've said this from my own experience, is that I had to learn very early in my life that it was dangerous to listen to my body. Like, and that is wild, right? That's a wild statement. And people that are still in the church that are like, cannot believe that I am openly starting to share about these things, that's fine. I don't think I'm really creating for my community now. Like, I'm really trying to just follow where Spirit is leading me, because that's the truth. It was dangerous to listen to your body, right? Like, for the natural man is an enemy to God. That was like a really big message. And I was like, what do you mean natural man? Like, that we are by nature sinful and we need to repent. And especially in the case of women, Adam and Eve, and Eve, like, she didn't listen to her husband, and then she had to go and bear life, and she got kicked out of the garden. These are the messages, and which is so different from the indigenous perspective, right? Let's swing to the other house where we have Papa and Wakea, like Mother Earth. And also, as I've been studying the different goddesses from different cultures, you know, we have different stories, like the two conflicting stories. We have one where we were shaped by Sky Woman, who created a garden for the well-being of all. And on the other side of the world, we had a woman with a garden and a tree, and because she ate the fruit, like, she was banished, you know? So there's always going to be this like really indigenous mo'olelo of the earth, of the sky, of the elements, that's gonna conflict with, again, the Euro-patriarchal lens. And we don't realize how much that plays into the disembodiment of our own bodies. Like, whoa, it's a lot, okay? So I'm not expecting anyone to get this. I am asking you to then pause this if you need to not try to analyze, because some of these things I feel like they've only become lived truths because I have lived them. And that is the embodiment piece. It is the experiencing them, and that is what is so different, I think, in today's world. And what one thing I do love about being in doing embodiment work is you can't freaking fake it. I mean, you can, but you're really only faking yourself. And I see, you know, everyone got lots of opinions, and it's important to separate the two of like this. There is mana'o, as my kumu would say, like, there's mana'o, opinions of learnings of like sharing, and then there is ike, where it's like this deep wisdom that has to be experienced, has to be cultivated, and it gets inside of you. So, you know, going back to being young, told my body was a natural man is an enemy to God, and that, you know, we are carnal by nature, and la la la. It's such a different place to kind of swing between the two. And no wonder we're really confused about, like, am I too much? Am I too little? Like, there's just this constant battle in our bodies. Little children can feel their sensuality. Like, they know, they're very alive in this sense. It's like, like my little kid, he's like, oh, I like, that's so good. Or, ugh, I don't like the lunch you made. Like, they know their taste, you know? And they know when someone feels like a safe person. They know when something is beautiful. They can name things that they don't like, you know? They gotta use the bathroom. They know they gotta go. And they know when they're excited, they emote. I mean, little kids to me are the embodied truth of where we all once were and where I'd like to personally go back to. Because they're just tuned in, you know, and that is another part of the embodied experience. And I'm not expecting all of this to come, like everyone be an embodied expert in this episode. I think it's just important to share about this journey. Sometimes, like, the truths that we do start to uncover, because there is the innocence of our youth, and then there is the hard shit that starts to happen in our life, whether, you know, and most times they are without our consent. I had, you know, I remember going to, she's a senior, I can't believe it. My oldest is graduating high school, and I remember her, one of her very first preschool, wow, this is crazy, this is coming up. Her preschool, what do you call those, halavai, meetings, I couldn't find the English word. Meetings, and it was about like the body and protecting our kids, and they were saying like one out of every four by the time come to preschool will have been sexually harmed. And I think about how young that starts, right, and how much that changes us. And I say this with so much compassion as one who has also gone through, who is also a survivor of sexual abuse and trauma. And those are the things that begin to shut us down and change us in ways that most of us don't have the families, I think, that have the tools to then support us, to bring us back into our embodied state. It's kind of like we deal as parents as best as we can in the moment. And sadly, I didn't have that, right? Sadly, a lot of us didn't have that. And so there is no right timeline that we're supposed to be healing. So this is not like a rush thing. Even if, you know, everything on the internet is like, you gotta do your work and heal. I have this new, because of embodiment, the body knows when it's ready. Like, there is no need to push. There's no need to force. The intuitive nature of the body, which is self-healing, will reveal things to us as it is ready. So going into this one, wow, I'm just gonna go all around, but yeah, going into that manao. I remember I had experienced abuse as a very, very young, like toddler almost. And it's so amazing, like how our trauma affects our brains and our bodies and how things will get shut down to protect us ultimately, right? So we can survive. And I hadn't thought about these things. I honestly had made myself forget these things even existed until I was ready to give birth to my first child. And it was in the birthing experience where my body refused to let go, where then through the loving care of the most embodied midwife ever, had intuitively known, and I'm sure it's because she worked with so many bodies, the age and the event that had taken place, and asked me about it. And in that moment, everything flooded back and my body released, and I was able to acknowledge, right? And that's a huge part of this work, is acknowledge the harm and have compassion, and then open up to the healing and open up to the rebirth, the birth, and my own, one of them, one of my rebirths. So again, like, our body is the truest thing, I feel like, about us. And it's interesting because we try to mind control the fuck out of everything. And I just think, imagine if we could really start to include the body in the decisions that we make, right? I think it's easy to say, but like, what does that look like? So when it comes again now to today, where I've really taken on embodiment facilitation, it really happens in micro movements. Learning to honor the cues that our body sends to us all the freaking time. And that really comes with tapping in with the breath, first and foremost, with learning to take back our natural movements. And that is when the really cool part of learning this for myself is, like, if I started to look at my hands, for example, as a very integral part of myself, not just in the doing, but like as if my hands were its own being, because it is, and my hands had the wisdom, how was my hands like to move? If there was a pain in my body and I gave it a voice, what would this ask of me? What does it want from me? It's like putting different parts of body wisdom back online. And I think when I hear this and I try to imagine myself for being in the seat of someone who never experienced that in real time, it sounds like, girl, what the hell are you saying? But there is a story that happens. There is a story that we live, right? There's a story that is downloaded as we come into this world. A lot of it is not our stories. A lot of it is from the collective stories. And what is so beautiful is, like, there's an individual story that we have. There's a collective story, this collective community, this body that we live amongst. And we're all connected. We're all interconnected. And to say we are not is to really still be very disembodied, okay? Over time, we start to learn that as much as we can inherit harm and all these different things that are going on in the world that affects us, we can also start to cultivate beauty and healing and so much more love. And it all starts with being curious. Like, I think that curiosity was the biggest pathway to embodiment. It's like following these little inklings in our bodies that invite us into exploration, into invite us into, and it's like a muscle, honestly. The more that we can tap into this body wisdom and this body knowing, the stronger the messages become. And then we start to feel into our wholeness, not from this surface level talking, but really in the living, in the way that we move, in the way that we walk. Everything that happens to us, like, happens to our body. And this is a quote from Nadia Bowles Weber. Everything that happens to us happens to our bodies. Every act of love, every insult, every moment of pleasure, every interaction with other humans, every hateful thing we have said or which has been said to us has happened to our bodies. Every kindness, every sorrow, every ounce of laughter, we carry it within our skin. We are walking embodiments of our entire story. And so today, I want to offer something super simple, because embodiment is not worried or is not really infatuated. I mean, I want to say that, not infatuated. It's not interested. It's not really interested in, like, let's go 20 years back. It might lead into that direction. But on the basic level, the thing that I want to offer as I want to wrap this up, because I don't want to be listening and talking for all day, all night. I could. But let's just break this episode up, okay? I think that the thing I want to offer today is to start really, really small, especially for those of you who have never done any kind of embodiment type work. Let's just practice deep listening. That's it. Like, and when I say deep listening, I'm not asking you to go meditate for 30 minutes. I mean, that is totally life-changing, and I am on that journey of like deepening my meditations. However, I just think that what embodiment is not asking you to go all the way back. Embodiment is not asking you, embodiment work, I should say, is not telling anybody that you should. If you are happy, can you live into that happiness 10% more? Can you move into that space and locate where in the body do I feel this the most? It will require some quiet for sure. I personally cannot, of course I can. I don't love doing embodiment work without music. Again, raised as a dancer, a movement teacher still, I need music. I just love it because it helps me get out of the mind. Put on some music and start to explore, you know, moving with where does this joy or this happiness live in my body. Yesterday I did a photo shoot with a friend and I felt really frantic, and what I really was surfacing for me was in my busyness and trying to fill, my body just needed to sit. And in this sitting, putting on a music, the tears started to well up from deep within my belly. And there were just these emotions. And I didn't really question where they were coming from or what, you know, what does it want? I just allowed the tears to come forward as something that needed to be expressed. And I felt 1,000 times better, 1,000 times lighter afterwards. And it just was like a beautiful testament to the wisdom of my body. You know, if you were to rewind 5-6 years ago, crying for like nothing, why? What's the point of that? Like, you shouldn't be sad, or like life is good, or like all the ways that we try to suppress these feelings instead of just not shaming ourselves, good, bad, right, wrong. It just is. And that is the other part, another part of embodiment work is like, it just is. Can you just exist in your wholeness, you know? As things change, like we're cyclical beings, especially as women. And again, going back into like this, I don't know how many times I said embodiment in this episode, but it's about that. Like following the thread. And embodied for me is not, and I guess I'll just end with this, is not a performance. So that gets confused really a lot. Of, well, if I have music and I'm moving, I must be dancing. No, you're really just allowing the movement. I think it's different than like a dance type of class. This is just you with yourself, with the vibrations, with the frequency, with the manifestations of what is here. And just giving your body a voice, and that will come through movement, that will come through stillness, that will come through emoting. And this is just for you. And I know that a lot of people won't do this because it's like so weird. Like, why? It's not productive. Okay, well, then carry on with the pit in your belly. Carry on with the unexpressed emotions and see when that decides to show up. How chaotic like your body might feel, how unsettled and ungrounded, and I gotta do this and I gotta do this, and versus like, let me just take a sec. And so that's what this invitation is, you know, it is not another thing to do. It's like, if it calls to you. Yeah. You know, I did feel overwhelmed when I wanted to start sharing this because I was like a shit ton of things that I had to say. And just tapping into my own experience right now. That, oye vale, like that is, well, that is enough for today. I hope that those of you who are listening to this followed along, because honestly, I don't know where it all went, but I do know that there's just an invitation for you to drop in. There's just a big part of me that wants to share more about the history of disembodiment as far as the collective goals. And that will be on the next episode, I believe, and soon, because that doesn't want to leave me. And it's important before I continue to facilitate so that, yeah. Oh, you know, the last thing. Okay. It's important to pick spaces and to be very mindful of where you are being led. Like, don't just be signing up for every class. And mine too. You know, like, we each carry different frequencies as teachers and leaders and spaces. And our bodies, right, as we're talking about all day, like, we absorb things and in the collective body. And it's important to be very mindful of where you are choosing and offering. And one of my really good friends, Brittany, had said that, like, when you take a class, especially a movement, you know, your sweat is a part of your system of, like, I am giving you permission to lead me. So whether you come to one of my classes, which I have a virtual or an online, oh, that is online, virtual or an in-person one coming up in October, and that's kind of how it'll roll. One in-person, one virtual a month. That's where I have space and capacity as a mom right now. Yeah, like, to just kind of check in and listen to your body. Like, that's freaking it, you know, embodiment, like learning to be in the body, not just, oh my gosh, what do I think? What do I think? Not that you guys sound like that. Okay, I'm not trying to say that, but that's how my irritating mind voice sounds to me, of like overanalyzing. Oh my gosh, that's how I feel like my brain talks. But then my body is like really grounded in the earth. It's like, Okay. It is 2:22. I'm going to end at 2:22. And I'm going to say, shoots, I love you. I truly am appreciative for the time we're able to spend. Hopefully I see you in a class. Hopefully you do this invitation. Let me know how it goes. I was so thankful for the last episode of coming back into the space and being greeted so warmly. And yeah, oye vale. Thank you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Mahalo for joining me today on this episode of Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast. If you have enjoyed our conversation and are looking forward to more conversations, I invite you to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. I love to hear from you when you share your takeaways and tag me on social media. And I am so thrilled to share that I have launched a new Substack newsletter where you'll find a beautiful blend of intimate writings, deeper dives, connections, and movement classes all wrapped into one. Thank you so much again for joining me, and I will see you on the next episode.